I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be all.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. Yeah. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. I'm here for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Yeah. And I said, what's your song this morning? He said, let's do a little Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, I said, okay. He said, how about that Come Monday? I said, okay.
This is Come Tuesday.
Tuesday. It might be your Monday.
As Jimmy Buffett said, we are still not in a brown L.A. haze here in Pensacola.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Beautiful weather here.
Oh, it's so nice. It's so cool. Nice. I love this coolness in the morning.
You know, every time you get good news, there's always the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
The News Journal, Kimberly Miller, who writes for the News Journal, her headlines this morning were, Florida is on fire as burn bans and windy conditions sweep the state.
Oh, no. Well, I saw something yesterday which caught my eye. It was it's the St. Augustine area. It was somewhere about an air, stay inside. There was an air warning.
Oh, yeah. And I think all the way down to Gainesville.
That's where, yeah, it was down in the central part of the state. I thought, what is that about?
And, you know, I'll have to admit, I probably shouldn't, but I will. I wasn't sure what the red flag warnings were that are set for Escambia County, according to her article. So I went to the research department.
Oh, good. Are they up and running this morning?
I had to wake them up. Anyway.
I'm sure.
Okay, but it's real simple. A red flag warning is an alert that is issued when the weather conditions create a high risk of wildfires.
Oh.
I'm trying to tell the public to take precautions. It's a combination of high temperatures, low humidity, strong winds, dry vegetation, and we have all of those here. So the temperatures we know are going up, around the state we're going up into almost the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing how high it got. The humidity is low. I'm talking 15-29%, and we don't have that much in Pensacola.
Right.
It just doesn't do that. Strong winds. Last couple of days, we've had some windy
that's
weather.
That's why I kind of liked
it. 25 miles or higher kind of triggers this red flag warning. And, of course, dry vegetation speaks for itself. So that's the red flag warning is set because of that. So what do you do to react to a red flag warning? You avoid open burning. I'll have to admit, I never do, or never have any open burning.
It's not really on my to-do list, but I get it.
Not really, but don't burn trash, yard debris, outdoor, put it out, make an outdoor pit. Don't do any of that stuff. Properly extinguish fires. So I guess that's like a charcoal, outdoor fireplace, that type of thing. Prevent sparks. Prepare for emergencies. That's kind of like a hurricane. Keep water, non-perishable food, medication, flashlight, batteries.
Wow.
That's like hurricane preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And just be careful. Remove, if you can, some of this dry vegetation on your property. And then stay informed.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going on. So we are under, according to the News Journal, is under a red flag warning. And so be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful because, as you know, there are areas that many times when we have this type of situation, these wildfires crop up.
Mm-hmm.
So just be careful. If nothing else, Meg, don't throw your cigarette out.
Absolutely not. If you're still smoking, don't do it. Your cigar, whatever it might be. Well, 4 and 20 was yesterday, so.
That's right.
And those two, don't throw those out either. We get a text in from our good friend Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping. He says, yep, it's really, really bad. He said, we are in the worst drought in Florida since the late 1880s.
Wow.
1800s,
wow,
yeah.
That long.
Yeah. And then Bruce looks like, Bruce sent me, he's one of our regulars too. Good morning, Bruce. He sent me a whole description of all the things you were just talking about. Avoid open flames or sparks. Keep your vehicles off dry grass. Properly discard flammable items and obey burn bans if ordered by local officials. So, yeah, red flag across the state.
Wow, it's dangerous. We've had these droughts before this time of year. But boy, this one just lingers.
It seems to be particularly
bad.
I just
don't see an end to it. Looking at the forecast, looking ahead.
All my little outdoor plants are, they're gasping.
Absolutely. And that's where we need to start talking garden line stuff, is that there are things that we need to do. Of course, watering the lawn, to me, is so important. I think sometimes when you read some of the literature, they put more emphasis on the plants and less on the lawn. But I'll be honest with you, I think we all know how much we need to keep that lawn irrigated.
Can you review both for us this morning? Because it's confusing to me. I hear different reports of what to do as far as the lawn.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And really, it kind of depends, Pensacola or Escambia County, if you will. We have different areas. We have, you know, for the most part, like in Gulf Breeze and parts of Pensacola, we don't have any soil. We have sand, just like the Sahara Desert.
Right.
It's just sand. So the water just like a sponge. It just goes right through. So you really have got to put enough water on it. And you've got to water deep. In other words, what you don't want to do is water every day for 15 minutes. That just
you don't want to do that.
That is not going to work.
Okay.
It's going to evaporate before it gets down to the roots where it needs to go. I would rather water 30 minutes, and I may extend that with this drought to 45 minutes, say three times a week if we don't get any rain. Now, if it just persists, you may need to go to four times a week. I don't think the experts would totally agree with me, but I think you've really got to protect that turf. You just don't need damage from dry weather. You really don't. It costs too much to replace it, and it's too much work. So keep that lawn going. Also, on your shrubs and your plants, those need to be watered also. Now, the experts are telling us don't allow, that's maybe the wrong word, but don't count on your overhead or your sprinkler system to water from an overhead situation your shrubs. Better to put a hose on it and put it down and let it water.
Oh, really?
And get deep down in the roots, exactly.
The sprinkler system's not enough for your shrubs.
Exactly. Sprinkler system, once again, if you start counting on that for the shrubbery, you'll get a lot of evaporation and it won't get down into the roots where it will do some good. So you've really got to take care of that. And you and I have talked about the Meg's potted plants.
You don't want to be one of those.
You don't want to be one of those. Dry weather, you know, those potted plants are going to dry out so quick.
They're gasping right now. Their little leaves are all turned up.
Poor little things.
I know.
Exactly.
It's not right.
But you just got to keep watering enough for those potted plants, maybe a little bit more. Some of them, depending on the variety, almost every day. But be careful because, remember, in that container, they're going to dry out quicker. No doubt about it.
And Vicki just texted in the question I always ask, is there a better time of the day to water?
Oh, there's no question about it. I would water I like from, say, 4 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30, that type of thing, because what you don't want done is water later in the day when you do get a lot of evaporation. So you're not getting use of all the water you put on there. And if you do it at night, in other words, when you get home from work and you do all your watering, sometimes that can promote disease in the yard, watering at night. Now, I always tell people, now this is common sense, I don't need to even say it, if you are working hours, that the only time you can get that water on that lawn is when you get home from work or even at night, do it.
Right.
It's better than not having any water at all. And here are the things, and we've talked about this before, some of the signs that your yard needs water. When you walk on it or do your lawnmower on it, you see your steps. The grass just kind of packs down a little bit. That means it's way too dry. And St. Augustine grass is probably the best example of this one. When those blades, they have a center stem to it. They kind of fold up, kind of like you're folding up your hands. And that says, oh, this lawn needs water, no doubt about it.
Okay, well, it's a great topic for this morning as we're entering into this drought we haven't seen since the 1800s. So
1800.
If you've got a question or a comment, text it in for Mike at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is The Garden Lawn here with Mike Wiggins as our host, talking all about this drought that we're experiencing. And we got a nice text that came in, and I'm sorry I don't know the listener's name, so if you can text that to me, I'll be happy to give you credit for this one. But he says, Mike, with a big exclamation point, we went to Slay's Nursery in Alberta on Saturday. What an amazing, mind-blowing place. Have you been? Off topic, I know. LOL. So you were saying you have not been there.
I have not been there. I mean, in fact, I'm not familiar. How do you spell it?
It's S-L-A-Y apostrophe S.
Okay. Very good. In Alberta.
In Alberta, Alabama.
That'd be a fun road trip, wouldn't it?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, that's great.
And this is the perfect time to do it.
I wonder if we, what was so special about it?
There you go.
Was it the inventory? Was it the size of it? Or maybe they had
variety,
maybe they had some unusual native plants, that type of thing. Yeah, what was special about it?
Okay, now you're on the spot. You're going to have to text back.
You're on the spot. You got to text back now.
And elaborate a little bit more.
Exactly.
So we can do a road trip
exactly.
with the Garden Line.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, finishing up the drought.
Yes.
That's right. Then we're going to move on to something else. Be sure to, you know, we always have our St. Augustine, 4 inches, centipede, 3 inches, soysia, 2 inches, insofar as mowing height.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure you do that, even if you raise it a little higher. Your grass likes that. That will help it stave off damage from the drought. It will, yes. And, of course, one of the things that our research department reminded me to do is be sure for the beds, your flower beds, you know, don't forget mulching them. And with pine bark mulch, cypress mulch, pine straw, and because you want it about, at least about four, once it packs down, and once once you water it, or even if it rains, if it ever does, it'll pack it down. But when it's packed down, you still want it to be about 4 inches. So you need to have it like that. You don't want that mulch to go up the trunk of the trees, but you want it around it. Around where the root system is, so that's what you need to do. Just a couple of things to stave off damage from the dry weather.
Okay, got a response from our listener.
All right,
says,
what'd you say?
Inventory is absolutely insane, Mike. You must go this Saturday. Blooming flowers, camellias, and everything you can imagine as far as the eye can see.
Really?
Too many colors for your eyes to pick up.
Is
How about
that, right?
that? And then another listener just sent in. Let's see. Showing us a century plant that's blooming in their neighborhood. So we've got that, and yeah, it's happening. So things are still growing. Now, and I got another question, too. So you talked about lawns and shrubs. What about vegetable gardens and watering those?
Oh, same thing.
Okay.
Same thing. And, of course, a lot of the vegetable garden watering, let's say tomato plants, for example, that's a good example, is you want to water from the bottom, water around the base of the tomato plant, as opposed to letting your overhead irrigation get there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get that water on those leaves, it can produce some fungus on them.
Oh, okay.
So it's better to water below if you can. A lot of people use a drip system, which waters obviously just around the roots of the plant. So, yeah, that's the best way to do it. But I would do it at the same thing or the same time we did the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it, water 3 to 4 times a week. And once we get going, it may be almost an everyday thing.
First thing in the morning.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Got another question for you. I have thin line gardenia bushes that have some green leaves, but mostly yellow and very few. What should I do to save them? Gardenias.
Yeah. Sometimes, this is going to sound very scientific. Sometimes gardenias just do that. I mean, really. Mind of their own. What I would do right now, this is a perfect time to do it, is use some fertilizer that has a lot of iron in it. As a matter of fact, a lot of fertilizer combinations are for azaleas, camellias, and gardenias because they are acid-loving plants, and they like that iron. Now, another thing to do is to buy a little bottle of chelated iron, which is a quicker-release iron that you could spray it with that would help some of the yellowing. But generally, for gardenias, when you get those yellowing leaves, it's not something that's terminal. I mean, it's like I say, sometimes they do that, and then they'll recover from it. But to kind of get this plant going and doing what you want it to do, I would certainly fertilize it right now.
Okay.
And I don't know how big it is because I don't know, we don't have a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, you know, a good idea is, you know, that tight handful of granular fertilizer per foot of height and do it out all the way out to the edge of the plant, which is the root zone,
mm-hmm.
That's where the roots are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do right now for that gardenia plant.
Okay.
And one other thing, because this is the time of the year for this also. Take that gardenia plant and look on the back side of the leaf. If it's got a bunch of little white specks on it, that's scale.
Mm-hmm.
And those are insects that are just kind of sucking the life out of that plant. If you have that, buy some ultra fine oil. Now, those gardeners who are my age will remember the Volk oil, which was an ortho product.
Mm-hmm.
It was used for the same thing. You spray it, and what it does, it's totally organic. It smothers that scale and kills it. So it's not a factor in your plant anymore. But the ultra fine is good because back in the day, that Volk oil had very specific parameters insofar as temperatures are concerned. You didn't want to do it when it was too cold or too hot. This ultrafine oil, those parameters have expanded somewhat, so you have a little more time on either side to do it. But it's good for, like I say, azaleas and camellias and gardenias, ligustrum, Clearia japonica, that type of thing. It's something that really for a lot of people, especially some of our senior gardeners, it's just a rite of spring.
Okay.
You just do it.
Okay. They were talking to Mike Wiggins, who is our expert on the garden line. So if you've got a question, 850-437-1620. Mike, we got lots of questions coming in this morning. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back to you. 850-437-1620. Good morning. This is Pep Talk with the Garden Line. Mike's over here talking about Jimmy Buffett. And that's what we'd like to do is have fun with the Garden Line and talking about flowers. And now is the season. So many questions rolling in. We're not going to be able to get to all of them this first half hour, but I promise you we're going to try to do our best to get to everybody the next half hour. Did want to just include Steve's comment from Escambia Bay. He says that all of his flower beds and gardens are on an automatic drip system, Mike. And he said also, because we were just talking about this place in Alberta called Slay's, and he said also Slay's pricing can't be beat anywhere.
Is that right? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and he says.
I just don't know them.
And this is really interesting. They close in early June.
That really is interesting. If you're in the garden center business,
you
know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Once you get into June and July and the hot weather, that is the slowest time of the year for you.
Right.
They're closing. They just opened for the spring, I guess. I wonder if they open again for the fall.
Probably. I would
think they would.
Well, now I'm curious. I think I'm going to have to do a road trip over there.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. We got to go. In any event, I appreciate that information. That's important. Back to the drip system, though.
Yes, talking about the automatic drip system.
So, if you have the wherewithal to do that, that is the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's regulated, so I'm sure Steve's is on a timer,
mm-hmm.
So it's just like a lawn water
sprinkler system kind of.
Sprinkler system timer.
Mm-hmm.
So he's getting plenty of water where it needs to go, and he's watering below, and that's going to make a success in that garden. That is really a smart move.
It's a good investment too, just time and everything.
Oh yeah, I mean if you're growing vegetables, absolutely, you don't have to get out there with that hose and when it's so hot.
When you're talking, you say, "Oh no!" You say this so cavalierly. Just anytime between 4 and 7, I'm not even thinking about getting up between 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. Who are you talking to?
All of your plants are going to dry up and blow away, Meg.
They're getting the midnight sprinkling is what they're getting. But I know. I'm trying to change my lifestyle. I'm getting up earlier every day.
There you go. You can be old like me and you can't sleep.
Oh, no. So you're just up.
You just go do it. Go water it.
Somebody just texted in, I have a drip system, but I have trouble with dirt getting into it and clogging it. Ooh, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Oh, and somebody just texted in, Steve says Slaves does reopen in the fall.
We got to look into that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, y'all, this is the Garden Line with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and our expert is in the house right now. Get your questions in during the news break at 850-437-1620. And Michael do his best to answer all of your gardening questions this morning. We'll be back right after the news. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. We do this every Tuesday from 9 to 10. So if you're getting your garden started, I'm starting to sound like a Southerner, getting your garden started, y'all. Y'all be listening to this show because we got the expert right here. And his name is Mike Wiggins. And so we had lots of questions coming in the last half hour. I had a fun discussion about this place that Mike and I neither had heard of it, of Slays over in Alberta. So looks like we're going to have to do a road trip over there. Got a couple of questions, so we're going to get right to it, Mike. The first one is, I bought some blueberry bushes at the flower show at the University of Florida campus, and I heard they had a great turnout over in Milton. And this person says, I read online where it says they should be planted in December. They're very large blueberry bushes that are about, 5 feet tall with lots of blueberries on them. Should I keep them in the containers, or should I plant them now?
Well, you know, I think you could probably go either way. I think you could plant them now. Now, the reason they say plant them in December is that so many of those type of plants, any deciduous plants, should be planted when they're dormant, when they don't have any leaves on them. But you've got them in the container, which means the entire root system is intact. In other words, if you had some blueberries at point A and you wanted to move them to point B, I would say no, wait, do that when they're dormant. But you've got this, they're all in the containers, the roots are all there. And so I think you can do it now, but you've got to do it right. Once again, you need, in my opinion, and sometimes the experts differ with me on this, you need to put some type of organic material in the hole where you're going to plant the blueberry bush. Canadian sphagnum peat moss is the best. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that's what I would use. You dig the hole, take all the sand out of it, or that's what it is, sand. Put the peat moss, put about a couple of good shovelfuls of peat moss in there. Put the sand back in the hole and mix it all up. Then take out enough of that to slip that root ball into the sand peat moss mixture. And plant that blueberry at exactly the same level that it is in the pot. Otherwise, you don't want to stick it out of the ground too much. You don't want it buried too much. Exact same level. And if, just by chance, if that blueberry has been in that pot for a long, long time, the roots may have started to go around and around inside.
So the ball of roots.
Yeah. So kind of loosen that with some your gloves before you put it in the hole so the plant can absorb the nutrients. And then the last thing here, this goes back to our original topic this morning. Then do not ask your sprinkler system to water those blueberries. Take your hose. Drag it out there, let it dribble on it for 2 to 3 hours, and do that 3 or 4 times a week for a while. You want to get that root system established by planting that blueberry. The other side of the coin is if you don't want to take the chance, you know, of having some kind of plant shock, leave them in the pot unless they're really root bound. If it's a 1 gallon pot and it's a 4 foot blueberry, you need to go ahead and do it. But if it's good and healthy and the plant corresponds to the size of the pot, just remember you've got to water it more this summer while you're waiting for December to plant it. If it were me, I'd plant it. I would plant it and be sure.
I'm curious.
Sure you get that deep watering done.
I'm curious, do you plant that in the shade or in the sunlight? Is that, I don't know much about blueberry bushes.
Blueberries will take sun, but a little bit of filtered sun is okay also. They're a very strong plant, and I think they're a very underused plant. I mean,
I love
there are some people that have used blueberries as a hedge in their yard, you know, along the side of their yard, because it is a very attractive plant. Plus, you've got blueberries.
I love blueberries.
Don't we all? So yeah, it's a great plant, and I'm not sure it gets its just due. I think maybe more people should plant them.
Okay. We had a comment earlier about having trouble finding the Fertilone 1648 anywhere local, and so they were asking, what's my next option? And I have St. Augustine and Centipede Grass. They just texted in, I just found it at Pensacola City Garden North.
Yes, Pensacola Seed and Garden.
I'm sorry.
Seed and Garden, yeah. They have two locations.
Okay.
One on Mobile Highway, one north, I guess, over near 9 Mile Road. Because I know Larry over there at that garden center handles some of the Fertilome products.
Okay, maybe talk about that a little bit. So the Fertilome, it's called Fertilome 1648.
Absolutely. That's a fertilizer we have used for years on St. Augustine centipede, even zoysia, for the spring fertilization. Reason is a couple. One, we've talked about this a lot. I don't mean to repeat myself, but every fertilizer has three numbers to describe it. Nitrogen, phosphate, potash, okay? The nitrogen is what's going to make that grass grow in the spring, jump up and get going. So the 1648 has, obviously, 16% nitrogen, and that's exactly what you need. But the Fertilome product, and matter of fact, I think when you find it, you're going to find, if they haven't changed their marketing, they used to call it Fertilome Classic.
Oh, okay.
Because so many people used it, but it has a couple of things. It's a nice, solid, granular fertilizer, easy to apply. It's slow release, which means it's not just a quick hit. It's going to last for a couple of months feeding your yard as it breaks down. So it's a good fertilizer, and the formula is one that a lot of people, when they get soil tests, they get really two things that they want to see in that soil test. One, do they need lime? And two, what's the formula of the fertilizer? And the state for years said 1648.
Interesting.
Is a formula that you might or you do want to use. So anyway, I'm glad you found it on the Pensacola Seed and Garden there north.
That's the big capital letters you put north.
Right. Now, here's why I'm going to get in trouble here. I'm going to get in big trouble. Larry is so accommodating over there. If you are in a situation where you can't get up off 9 Mile Road, maybe you're in Gulf Breeze, don't want to go that far or whatever, I think if you ask the folks, call their location up north, they'll put it on a truck and take it to the Mobile Highway
location
for you. They did that for me one time before. And that way you don't have to go, maybe not, if it's not convenient for you to go up near 9 Mile Road. But Larry and all the folks at Pensacola Seed and Garden are very, very accommodating.
Wow. Okay, some great comments coming this morning on the Garden Line. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. All you have to do is text it in at 850-437-1620. And let's just say you're in your car and you're hearing all this great information. You're like, gosh, I don't have a notepad to write all this down. You can re-listen to this broadcast right online. Just go to our website at newsradio923.com. Click on podcast. There's a special category just for the Garden Line with Mike's picture on it. You click on that, and you can hear every broadcast he's ever done since he's been doing the show.
That's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. A lot of knowledge there.
I don't know if anybody wants to do that.
We need somebody to do a transcript and write your book, buddy. I keep telling him he needs to write a book.
I don't know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I always say, you write a book about gardening in Northwest Florida, you'd have to write three books, one for Gulf Breeze, one for the northern part of the county, one for Pensacola.
Well, and fourth for the beach.
Fourth for the beach.
Add to the beach, too.
That doesn't work.
All right. We'll be back with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. Still time for your questions or comments at 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We'll be right back. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. And Vicki says, I would think more books than the one. One for hurricane and one for drought, and even now one for snow. That's great, Vicki.
Well said, Vicki.
Because he has been through the hurricanes as our former mayor.
If we write that book, it's going to be Mike and Vicki.
There you go.
We're going to write it together.
Well, I spent a few hours in the EOC myself, so I probably could help out with that.
I had a permanent seat in the EOC back in the day. No doubt about it.
I bet you have. So we were talking at the beginning of the show about drought. So some folks may be just joining us. And if you don't know, one of our listeners sent in and said, our friend Paul over at Blue Sky Landscape said, this is the worst drought in the state of Florida since the 1800s.
That's amazing.
Can you kind of recap some of the tips that you gave out? Because those were so good about how to deal with this.
Well, And the way we deal with it, of course, is with water.
Right.
Which is with water. A couple of things. We'll do turf first.
Okay.
We like to do it, let's say, normally this time of year, three times a week for 30 minutes. I think you could probably stick to three times a week, but go to 45 minutes. Let's get and do it when we all know that Meg is sound asleep. Say between 4 and 8, okay? That's when we want to do all that watering. That's really important.
And don't you be bringing your leaf blower by my apartment.
Exactly.
I want to ban leaf blowers, just a side note.
Also, of course, if you've got, you know, if you've got kids out playing soccer in the yard, check those sprinkler heads.
Ooh,
because
right?
You may be watering the street and not know it since that sprinkler system's coming on so early.
That's true. Now is a good time to check it.
Check it right now. There's no doubt about it. And pay special attention to your container plants. They're going to dry out quicker. And on your shrubbery, try to not allow every time to have the sprinkler system overhead, sprinkler system water the shrubbery, because it just doesn't get down into where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to use your hose and drag it out and just let it sit on some of that shrubbery on the right next to the root system and let that do the watering. But we've got to do this because we've always said on the Garden Line, one, we all work so hard to make our lawn and gardens look so good and spend so much money to do it. We have to do everything we can to protect it. This weather will change.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get some rain, but it's going to be a while. So take heed.
One of our listeners just texted in, I have a orange tree and a pink grapefruit tree in my backyard. Talk about watering those.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. I think
they need more and a bigger circumference around.
Yeah, I think if you water it, say 3 times a week, probably for the shrubbery, you could get by with probably 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would recommend. But yes, you've got to pay attention to that too. All of your shrubbery, especially your citrus, your oranges and kumquats and all of that stuff. Yes, you've got to pay attention to that. And a lot of people have those in containers. So as we've just said a minute ago, they're going to dry out a little faster. And sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind. But you've really got to pay attention to that. But yes, pay special attention to those grapefruit and citrus that you've got.
Okay. Well, I have a question for you because all of our listeners' questions are in so far. This is a really, really big one. What am I going to do about the pollen that is bouncing off the trees around my car that is turning my car yellow? I mean, it is it's like a carpet.
Buy one of those coupon books at the car wash.
That's the solution.
Yeah, that's the solution. So
about
twice a week, just run your car through there,
goodness.
Get it washed, and be on your way.
There's no way you could shake those trees or do something, to keep them from.
it has been unbelievable.
Have you noticed? Is it my imagination or is it worse this year?
No, it's as bad as I've ever seen it.
Gosh.
Plus, and we talked about this last week, the oak leaves have been as bad as I've ever seen it. I mean, I'll tell you right
now. Why is that? Is it because it's so dry that they're just dropping off?
This is
what?
Mother Nature. Who knows? It could have been the winter we had, which wasn't that severe.
Right.
I mean, who knows? But I had a grandson come in, needed a little gas money for his car.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, go get all the leaves out of the gutter and bag them up and put them on the side of the yard.
Ooh, that was a big job.
Yeah, and he did it, and it was perfect. I said, this is terrific. The next morning, they were every one of them were back.
Oh,
so I called him up. He said, I'm sorry, I'm headed back to school.
Yeah, you've done it once. That was enough for him.
Once was enough.
Thanks, Pop, but that's enough.
That's it.
Yeah, it is something. I've really noticed it in my neighborhood.
It is really bad. And remember what we said. I bet we've said this many times. Those oak leaves, the live oak leaves, remember now, are cupped.
Yes.
Remember? And we said, if they get in your yard really thick, and we do get some rain, or you water your yard, that cupped leaf is going to hold water, which some of the experts say will promote mosquitoes. So it would be nice to rake them up. But nobody here has enough time to get out there and rake those leaves every day.
You could, every day, twice a day.
Every day, you could do it.
In my neighborhood.
But, just do the best you can. It'll stop, it'll go. I think they're at the end, but I say that every year. And then
then this weekend was crazy.
Then here they come. But, boy, it has been amazing.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay, this is Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. So we've talked quite a bit about the drought and how to keep things watered. Anything else we should touch on this season?
Well, I'll tell you what we ought to do. We've only got about,
couple minutes left.
Well, yeah, five minutes left. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do what we did last week? Let's do a little lightning round of things we need to do right now.
Great.
Okay, so you want to do that?
Yes.
It's okay, here we go. Number one, and we talked about this, fertilize the lawn with the right fertilizer. We like the 16-4-8, if you can find it, and if someone did find it with Larry,
mm-hmm.
But if you can't find that or you're not where you can get it, a 22-4-4, something with that first number is big. So fertilize your yard now. Now, I will say this. If you have a lawn
mm-hmm.
and you just don't have the wherewithal to water it as much as we've talked about, you may want to hold off on that fertilizer. Because, once again, the experts are saying if you have a dry lawn and you put that nitrogen on there, which promotes all that growth,
mm-hmm.
That might not be the best and most healthy way to deal with your turf. So if you don't have a way to water, you might want to think until we do get a break in the weather.
Okay.
Because if you have St. Augustine centipede, it won't be too late if you do it in May.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with that lightning rod list of things you can do as we're heading into spring and summer right here on the Garden Line. We'll be right back. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We're going to do a quick lightning round here with
here
Mike Williams.
Okay. We talked about lawn fertilizer. That's enough of that. Fertilize your plants. Remember, use a tight handful for every foot of height. Azaleas is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Once they finish blooming, go to it. Get some azalea, camellia, gardenia fertilizer, and fertilize your azaleas, your gardenias, camellias with that particular formula. Okay, number three, cut back the azaleas now if you want to. Right after they bloom, they're going to set buds next summer. Check your limestone requirements, and that's important for St. Augustine grass. Do a soil test. If you haven't got the time or the wherewithal to do a soil test, if you haven't put lime on your St. Augustine, I always say every 2 years, maybe every three, but every 2 years is best, put your dolomite lime on your St. Augustine grass. But it's critical that you put 2 weeks between your 16-4-8 and your lime, because chemically, don't ask me why, they tie each other up.
Hmm.
So you don't want to do that. All right, plan and plant your vegetable garden. Remember, we talked, was it last week or week before, we talked about tomato plants, how we need to go ahead and get that going, because you don't want to wait too long, because once we get into the hot late June and July,
mm-hmm.
that's they kind of start having problems. So get that going. Watch out for mole cricket infestation. Mole crickets are the little varmints that go under. They're not after your grass, but they're after insects in your lawn.
Hmm.
So if you've got these funny brown spots in your yard, and sometimes they'll raise up, you'll see a little mole trail. You want to treat that with insecticide. So anyway, that's just a few what to do this time of year hints.
Okay.
All right.
We have our expert, Mike Williams. He's amazing, and I'm so happy to have you here on the Garden Line. Each week we're here from 9 to 10. You can hear it again on Saturday mornings right here on News Radio 92.3. And again, you can go to the website and check out the Garden Line podcast. Thanks again, Mike.
You're the best, Meg. Thank you.
You're the best, Mike.
You're the best, Meg.
No, you're the best. Morning, 5 to 9.